Now, there you could take another time when he could have been recognized. According to some of the Gospels, there was an occasion early in his ministry, just before his ministry, when he was baptized in the Jordan River. And at that time, in addition to what was seen, a voice was heard. This is my beloved son. Heard either by Jesus or by those, the group as a whole. The Gospels don't agree with that. But it would seem as though the indication, the revelation, the announcement of Jesus for what he was thought in that story to have occurred on that occasion. Indeed, there's another occasion at the Transfiguration, somewhat later in Jesus' life, when very much the same kind of thing happens. A group of disciples at the mountain sees him transfigured, and not only have their eyes as witness of his glory, but they have the words again, "This is my beloved son." Incidentally, I might add one or two variants there. I have a notion that the word beloved means only, and that at least one gospel, Luke read, "This is my son, this day have I begotten thee," or "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee," quoting a somewhat different passage of Scripture. I don't know why a divine voice coming from heaven mightn't as well quote one passage of Scripture as another. And this would be suggesting that Luke apparently thought that on that occasion, this is the baptism occasion, one sentence of Scripture was what the voice said and what they heard and what the way in which Jesus was identified on that occasion. I think there's a passage somewhere in the Gospels that suggests that some people will only identify Jesus at the second coming. After all, that's going to be something rather striking as an event. And if you haven't gotten on to him then, when he comes then you'll know him. He will come in glory that will be unmistakable. The Gospel of John says that very early in his ministry, he performed a miracle at Cana of Galilee, turning water into wine, and then the author adds, "This is the first miracle that Jesus did and manifested forth his glory." So that you might say that in his miracles, Jesus was made known for what he was. At least to some. The demons were particularly acute in catching on to what those miracles meant. And with good reason, because one of the principal victims of Jesus' miracles were the forces of evil, as embodied through the use of demons in poor human sick folk. You see then the variety that I've suggested on this mere matter, not of when Jesus became what he was, but of when it became recognizable what he was, either by a supernatural voice and the coming of a dove upon him, or by being raised from the dead, or between those two events by the miracles he worked, any of those way, and perhaps with people to discover later through the preaching of his apostles, And by the coming of the Holy Spirit in the later years of the church, all the way up clean to the last chance you had to recognize him when he came with the clouds, when he comes with the clouds at the end of time. According to one passage in the Gospels, Peter showed that he recognized Jesus at the time of a conversation in a placed in some villages near the town of Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus makes the comment when Peter expresses his identification. In fact, Peter is asked for an opinion. It's rather interesting that Jesus should say, well, what are people saying about me? Question I don't know that I'd be feel like asking anybody on all occasions. But the delicate. I'd rather not know, I guess, is the reason. Any rate, as told, it's this way. Whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say this, and some say that, and some say that. And Peter said, well, who do you... Jesus said, well, who do you say I am? Peter. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus adds these words. You didn't get that from a human being. You got that idea from God. In old language, it is, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So that in this whole matter of recognition of Jesus, it isn't merely what Jesus does or what he wants to display himself, or it isn't merely about the person himself, but it's partly in the hands of God when and where and why you identify Jesus for what he is. I think it's well to remind ourselves of that in thinking of any appreciation of Jesus, that according to these writers and modern theologians both, a person is revealed to another person and I don't know that it's always ideas about a person's reveal, just the person's reveal. Perhaps my word thought is wrong in saying what did they think about Jesus. When did they sense, not an idea about him, but an appreciation of him? Very hard for us to distinguish ideas about a person and just sensing what they are, although I think in human friendship there we could recognize that difference. You don't have to phrase it to yourself when a person comes to mean something. When they make an impact upon you, their character does. You don't have to phrase it in words. And so perhaps it's rather vain for us to be asking when did the Christians put Jesus down and said, these are the words that describe him. Well, one interesting thing further is that Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, makes almost no effort, or perhaps the contrary, himself, to assist in identifying himself. After telling Peter what a wonderful revelation God had given him about himself, he goes right on, doesn't he, say, now, don't tell anybody. In other words, you can't say that Jesus was appreciated and recognized because he sold himself very well to his associates and to the general public. At least what he'd sold was not a definition or an acceptance of a particular role about himself. That, according to Mark, is the interesting thing. I admit that the Gospel of John doesn't make Jesus so taciturn about who he was, what one should think of him. Well, now I skip on to another topic. The word Messiah, which is certainly a principal term for Jesus, means anointed. And the role of anointing was a custom in the Jewish world for installing a person in an office. The priests were anointed when they became officiating high priests. The king was anointed when he, at the time of his accession to the kingship, and even prophets were sometimes anointed by other prophets. Now, the name for the expected representative of God was the Lord's Anointed One. And it was a very early feeling among the Christians that Jesus was the Lord's Anointed. But I can't help but wonder whether they asked, and in this connection, because anointing is an inauguration, just when and where he was anointed. Because if they had a view about that, that belongs, doesn't it, to our subject of the inception of Jesus' position. It seemed to me a little odd that when people say, Jesus was God's anointed, and people, I explain what that all means, a little bit awkward for some alien civilizations, but you all understand now from your Jewish background what it means. And you say to me, very good, I'm perfectly willing to accept that, but as a matter of history, just when was he anointed? You know. Because he's the only anointed person for whom a date wouldn't be readily forthcoming. I know the story of when each king was anointed, and I know that the high priests were regularly anointed, but what is reported of Jesus being anointed? I rather think the term anointed came first, and if any story of his being anointed came, it was rather secondary and explanatory, just as I brought it up now. There is no clear account of Jesus being anointed as Messiah. But I am sure that the question must have arisen, and I suspect that remnants of the answer to that question are to be found in our Gospels, perhaps unrecognized. Isn't there a hint somewhere as to who should precede the Messiah when he came? One book of the Old Testament says that Elijah, or a prophet, will be sent like Elijah to precede. Now, Elijah was a great anointer in history. You better look him up in the book of Kings, and you'll see that he was going around pouring oil over all and sundry as he got the notion that this man was ordained for this and this man for that. And so Elijah would be a very appropriate person to anoint the Messiah when he comes. And then, if you remember, that there's another idea that John the Baptist was the forerunner, was the Elijah that was to precede. You read that explicitly said in one of the Gospels, and I think rather implied in others. And you also read that John the Baptist was also, like Elijah, very much given to pouring on people, or even perhaps dipping them, not with oil in this case, but water. So it's just possible that the story of the baptism of Jesus is the remnant of an early Christian answer to the question, well, if he was the anointed, let's see when he was anointed. And I suppose that in the absence of any better story, that one would have to pass as the answer. However, as often is the case, the early Christians got two or three answers to the same question. And there are at least two stories of Jesus being anointed, not at the beginning of his life, but later in his life, by women who, as a matter of now anointing of another type of a form of Oriental hospitality in the home, or of a mark of deference and as part of the regular preparation for meals and so on, the use of some kind of ointment. And there is one story that comes down to us of a woman who did pour a very precious oil upon Jesus. Now I wonder whether that isn't a fragment from an early Christian answer way back before the story is told that has to do with this rather naive question. When was he anointed? I wonder if any of you have ever asked yourself that question. It wouldn't be so obvious to you because perhaps you forget that Messiah means anointed. But if you were Greek speaking, the word Christos is an awfully odd word. And you say, if man has to be called by that odd word, there must be some physical act behind it. Smeared. Suppose we translated smeared. Suppose that's the name Jesus goes by. Jesus the smeared. Who smeared him? When? Where? Greased or whatever you want to call it. Well, here is this story. And then still another story, remember, a woman who, so far from having money enough to use this $150 worth of oil, used her tears.